When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Doug Carskater out today. We have got a Twitter poll out there for Lions fans and Detroit fans, sports fans in general. Lions Bears on Sunday, what do you think happens? Three scenarios here you can vote for. One is the Lions get their mojo back and win big. Two is it's going to be a dogfight and the Lions win a close game. Three is Lions lose. Votes are welcome, of course, and if you comment, there's a chance we're going to read it on the air, so... get your votes in and feel free to comment at 248, or I'm sorry, at DougGator971. That's our Twitter account. And we'll take your phone calls on that as well. What's your gut telling you? Do they get the mojo back against teams under 500 this year? The Lions have won by an average margin of 28.6 points. Now, how tough has their schedule been? Well, they've only played five games against teams under 500. So what? Chicago, Dallas, Tennessee, Jacksonville. I don't know who the other one is, but I did the math earlier today. 28.6 points per game against teams whose record are below 500. That's who they got Sunday, the Chicago Bears. But of course, the closest one of those games came against the Bears, and it looked like that game was going to be a rout as well until halftime. And I think Detroit collectively was very confident in their football team, chesty about their football team, going into halftime on Thanksgiving. In the last 10 quarters, well, Bears started to move the ball. There was no shame in playing close games with Green Bay and Buffalo, but the Lions actually lost a game, which, you know, let's face it, we're not accustomed to. You've got the injuries that have piled up. It hasn't felt like as good as it has since halftime in a Bears game, right? And in the last 10 quarters, there's reason to be concerned. I think it's 24 defensive possessions, 12 touchdowns, one field goal, two field goals, another field goal attempt. Like, they haven't stopped a ton of people. I like the Lions to win kind of like the Seattle game, where the final score is comfortable, but it's a battle throughout, and the Bears are hanging around. But I got the Lions winning this one 31-16. And I think that Aaron Glenn, given what he has to work with, the Lions defensive coordinator, I think he knows the assignment. The assignment is now field goal attempts. The Lions defense, I want them to master the art of red zone defense and make teams kick field goals. Because you're not going to beat the Lions kicking field goals. Not this offense. And so, yeah, the defense can give up yards, and they probably will give up more yards. The defense can, you know, go to the bend but don't break style. But Aaron Glenn, master the art of red zone defense and get your guys to lock in on that. Because if you're going to tell me they have good red zone defense, that the numbers might pile up in terms of, you know, yardage allowed, passing yards, rushing yards, they might not have a lot of sack totals. But if they keep teams out of the end zone and settle for three, that's a formula. And look, I'm not saying it's easy. But if you can do that, Lions are a tough out. Lions are a tough out. I said we'd update the polling at this point. Lions win big, 41.2% of the vote. Lions win a close game, 51.3% of the vote. Lions lose, 7.8% of the vote. 248-539-9797. Rick is in Ann Arbor and next here on 97.1. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing great.
Awesome. So, you know, coming into the season, I thought there was no one that could beat the Lions. We're better than everyone. I still think we have a chance to win the Super Bowl, but given the adversity, given the injuries, given, you know, no David Montgomery, I still think we're going to win this weekend because I do believe we're better than the Bears. But I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think being at Chicago makes a difference. We beat them in pretty devastating fashion on Thanksgiving. I think it's a revenge game for the Bears, and I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people might think and closer than anyone thought it would be even just 2 weeks ago. So I think it'll be like a 31-24, 31-27 type of game. Lions win, but I think it's going to be close.
It's interesting, Rick, because you straddled the Lions covering and the Lions not covering. 31-24, they cover. 31-27, they don't cover.
Yep.
Because if they cover, then I think you said it's going to be closer than people think, and then you picked a score that is further than people think. But if it's 31-27, then it's technically closer than people think when you're within the number. So, I could see it
and
being
Vegas
that way.
Vegas knows more than I do. Somehow they always get it just right, it seems like. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a dogfight.
You know what's funny is what you cited there, I just don't know that this time on this trip to Chicago, I'm not sure how hostile an environment it's actually going to be.
That's fair.
Yeah, because I think it could be a huge influx of Lions fans.
Yeah, totally fair, man. Yep. But hey, appreciate taking my call.
Thank
guys,
you.
Take care.
Thank you. 248-539-9797 and happy holidays. Back to your phone calls and feedback in a minute. This morning I got up and came into the office and I sat down. I said, let me see if I can find a live cam in South Bend, Indiana. Let's see what the weather looks like. What I saw was a town blanketed in snow. And I thought, it's too bad it's not like Georgia coming in to play Notre Dame tonight in the college football playoff. Like that's what we've waited for years. LSU. Oh, she's not in the playoffs. But you get the point. Have a team that would have to come up north to play in the college football playoff from the Southeastern Conference specifically. And we do kind of, I mean, Tennessee is about as up north as an SEC team can be, and they're going to Columbus on Saturday night. But we get Indiana and Notre Dame. These are two teams that are virtually in the same climate. Indiana, South Bend is a few hours north of Bloomington, which is south of Indianapolis. But this is not an appreciable difference. But whatever. This game tonight, fascinating. Indiana, the darling of college football this year, with a very cocky coach who's done an excellent job. But these are two teams that are somewhat light on quality wins. I give Notre Dame credit in that they had a bad loss early in the year to Northern Illinois, which basically reduced their margin of error down to zero, and they won out. The Northern Illinois loss would have cost them a playoff bid in many formats, 4-team, 6-team, but this 12-team playoff, they get in with what would be an otherwise thought of crippling loss. But give them credit because they ran the table. Meanwhile, Indiana, their one big test, their only game against a ranked opponent, Ohio State, the score wasn't close, but it got out of hand because Indiana made catastrophic special teams mistakes against a team that's been challenged on special teams. We talked about it prior to Michigan and Ohio State, how Ryan Day had talked about trying to get more out of their special teams and then button up their special teams. And then they went out and they had a poor day on special teams, their kicker, and particularly they botched a kick return, which may have cost them a field goal attempt because they started inside their own 5 instead of, say, the 30 or the 25. and then went on a long drive. Nonetheless, Indiana's, I'm trying to interpret what that Ohio State score means. A score looked like a blowout. I think Indiana might be better than that. And I do love their defense. All Big Ten linebacker in Aiden Fisher. Mikhail Kamara on the edge. C.J. West can dominate games in the middle. Defensive tackle slash nose tackle. And they're going to be going up against a Notre Dame running attack that is really, really good. They got a dual threat quarterback, Jadarian Price. I think this is a low scoring affair in the snow in South Bend. And I think, though, the look of this game, I think it's going to look great. Snow, cold, breath, old school, lots of running. I like the under tonight, but I like this to be an intense, great-looking football game. I think it's going to be awesome. And I would take Indiana, if forced to, I would take Indiana plus the points. But foreshadowing, if I bet it coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, I like the under in this one. 248-539-9797. Let's go to David in Birmingham. You're next on 97.1. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning. Or good afternoon, whatever the case may be.
Well, it is afternoon.
You know what? I think it's going to be a dogfight. I'm not sure I'd bet the game. But the recipe and the key stat for this game and the three games going forward and the playoffs is time of possession. If they can go 35-25, that means they're keeping the opponent, their defense off the field, and that means they've reestablished the running game.
So huge.
So and that's the key statistic moving forward.
So huge, David. I mean, establishing a run game, getting back to that, it's been a bit since they've run it well. We said we're going to play some of the coordinator stuff coming up here, David, and that will include Ben Johnson talking about the running game, which is big. No, it's really big to get that thing going.
Okay, go IU.
Go IU. You're an Indiana fan, or you're an anti Notre Dame guy?
A little of both. Probably more of the latter.
Anti Notre Dame.
There you go.
All right. Well.
Okay. Peace, guys. Happy holidays.
Yep. Happy holidays to you. All right. We mentioned the coordinators. Ben Johnson. Do you want to be a head coach? And what's been wrong with the running game? Hear what he has to say today, starting at 12:20. Here on Carson Anderson, open lines, 97.1 The Ticket. Attention Detroit Lions fans, UMCU is the official credit union of the Detroit Lions, and they've teamed up with stars like Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch, and Terron Arnold to bring out something special to you. Hi, it's Doug. The Lions charge forward this season. UMCU has given fans an exclusive access to the sleek new Detroit Lions Black Debit Card. It's the ultimate way to show off your team spirit, and it's maybe a way to show that you haven't given up on these guys. They are 12-2, and still hold the best odds of being the one seed. And they're starting to get people back. It's still a good place to be. It's not as good as it was. But don't confuse it. It's still a good place to be. And if you bleed Honolulu blue and black, now's the perfect time to join the Detroit Pride. This exclusive Lions Black Debit Card is only available to UMCU members. Choose from the Black Card or three other exciting designs that represent the Lions' fierce spirit. Becoming a member is easy. I did it. Visit umcu.org for all the details. Some restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA, UMCU, where success deserves to be celebrated. Happy holidays, everybody. Doug Karshgater out today. 248-539-9797 is always the phone number. We got a ton of people with a bunch of cool, obscure rules. As we were talking about last night's fair catch free kick that the Chargers employed to get 3 points in that game against Denver, which is one of my favorites. It's so bizarre. Sure, if you fair catch in the half ends, why not get a chance at 3 points? Essentially off a tee like a kickoff. Why that rule is even in place? Why the hell is that rule even in place? Seriously. Is it so that a team, I mean, I don't know. Why is that rule even in place? Why are you allowed to do that? I can't think of that like closing a loophole on something that somebody was abusing. How often does a team, how often is the last play of a half a punt anyway? And how often does the do you not return the, I mean, I don't know. It just seems, it seems like a rule. Like here's just another weird way you can score.
A kicker definitely made this rule.
Right?
It's like, how do we stay relevant? We've got to be able to get more opportunities somehow. I know. Untimed free kick. Yeah. Right, and everyone else is like, well, this is never going to happen. Fine.
Yeah, they just
we'll write it in.
Yeah, sure, if it makes you happy.
Yeah.
Helps you sleep at night, Chief.
And Gators boy Blanda was a real proponent of this one.
It was Blanda's idea. It was like, whatever, George.
Yeah. All right, Warren. It's an old name I can think of right there.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Oh, that's so great. I'm looking now to see if George Blanda ever tried a fair catch free kick. And the answer is no.
One of his biggest regrets in life.
All right, let me go through some of the people that have tried fair catch free kicks. This is a real one. For Green Bay, Curly Lambeau. Lambeau. Tried one. Paul Horning tried one.
There we go.
Tom Dempsey has tried one. He who hit the 63-yarder to beat the Lions missed a fair catch free kick of 57 yards. Some other classic kickers. Ray Wershing of the Chargers made one. Mark Moseley, wasn't he an NFL MVP? He tried one from 74 yards. God, I love these old kicker names. Raul Allegre tried one. Raul Allegre. Cameron Dicker, though, last night, the first one to make one since Ray Wershing made one for the Chargers in 1976. Okay. We said we'd get to this. Let's follow through on it. We've got coordinator sound. Now, the coordinators meet with the media every Thursday, and we like to sift through it and bring you the most interesting stuff they had to say. Big news this week, no David Montgomery. It's now the Jahmyr Gibbs Show, and obviously Craig Reynolds and others, including The Truth, Sione Vaki, are going to get some opportunities in backup roles and to spell the lead back, Jahmyr Gibbs. But for the play caller and the offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, what does it mean to have a Gibbs-centric backfield? Will they be okay? Here's what he said. You know what's great about that is he says it stinks that Monty's going to be out, but Gibby's ready for this. In most cases, with most contending teams, that word but would be doing a lot of heavy lifting. It would be doing a lot of work. If you said Derrick Henry's out, but Justice Hill is ready for this. If you said Saquon Barkley's out, but Kenneth Gainwell's ready for this, that word but would be doing a lot of work. In our instance, it's true. Very lucky to have, well, very, maybe lucky, it was by design. Very, it's a great luxury to have two backs this good. All right. One of the common beliefs, and we've talked about it on the air, and we've forwarded this belief, that the Lions are just going to have those outscore shootout kind of games. They're going to have to win shootouts. As a play caller and an offensive coordinator, does Ben Johnson feel the necessity to really keep up with an opposing team's offense, like to score every drive to make sure that they keep up with the opposing team and stay ahead, that they can win shootouts? Here's what he said. oddly, they've been very good out of halftime and at the beginning of games. And this game in particular, this Buffalo game, they were uniquely, I mean, dreadful for them. To open a game, 3 and out, 5 and out, 3 and out, 4 and a fumble. Those were their first 2 possessions of the first half, 2 possessions of the second half. 2 3-and-outs, 5 and out, 4-play drive, and a fumble. And look, they set the bar so high. They scored 42 points. And yet they look at it like, we can't afford 3 and outs. And with a kicker this good, you don't need 7 first downs to get into field goal range. So anyway, taking a look at this thing, you know, it tells you when he says it doesn't change anything. It tells you that they're trying to score every drive anyway. And they always have been. All right, more here from Ben Johnson. You're more prepared to be a head coach for sticking around in Detroit a little longer. Here's what he had to say. You know, it's interesting. I believe him. I really do. I think, you know, one of the reasons the drive from Ben Johnson and this staff to bring this town a Super Bowl victory and to get to the mountaintop. I mean, when you cite one of the reasons that you didn't want to leave is because you wanted to finish the job here, that tells you how important it is. And you don't really have time. It takes a lot of mental discipline, but you don't really have time. You're not going to do a good job if you're not fully dedicated to it in that line of work. So I believe him. And, you know, you also have agents for that, right? You hire a person. Hey, you handle all that. You keep it from me. We'll talk about it at the right time. That's why I'm paying you. You sort all that out. And we'll talk about it when we need to talk about it.
I 100% believe him, because he chose this, you know? Like, he chose to potentially turn down more money, more prestige, more power, because he wanted to come back. And maybe those opportunities weren't the exact situations he were looking for, but he also chose to come back because he knew that there was unfinished business here. And that drive, that's only a positive for the Lions. Like, he wants this. He didn't come back to just come back. He didn't come back because no one wanted him. He came back because he wanted to. And don't discount that either. There's so many things working for this team that to really try and win it this year. Like, we talked earlier on the show about guys kind of like, hey, playing through injury, overcoming setbacks.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Johnson is one of those guys with drive as well. Like, he wants to win because he chose this, man. He could be anywhere else. He could be in Washington or Carolina, but he wants to be here trying to win a Super Bowl.
Okay. He did have an answer to the question that had everybody talking. We'll play it for you today at 12:31. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Happy holidays, everybody. Ongoing right now is something that would sound somewhat ominous. Currently being played is the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. The Staff DNA Cure Bowl. All right, so we start with an infection. we mention DNA and we use the term cure. I hope this is like some cancer support game or something. I've never heard of, is staph DNA a product? No.
No?
No.
What about staph DNA?
Okay. Do you know, I just looked up what is staph DNA. It's an employment agency. So like they get people.
They staff.
Yeah. Interesting name.
It's weird, yeah. I think they're overrated.
What?
Staff DNA. They pat their stats. You know, I mean, they never come through when it matters.
I gotcha. All right.
You don't like that one, Doug?
No, I didn't.
What, you embargoing staff DNA as well?
Yeah, no, I'm good. So, anything to avoid that topic again.
I like golf DNA better.
All right, final thing here is... let's get to from Ben Johnson. Let's get to this. He was asked, all right, do you want to be a head coach? Do you want to be a head coach? And here's what the Lions offensive coordinator said. Okay, when you hear that, your take is what?
He gone eventually.
Yeah.
He gone eventually. You know, there's two things with Ben Johnson, whether you think he'll be back or not. Is one, does he want to be a head coach, right? Does he really want to leave a great job here where everyone appreciates him? He's doing a great job. I'm sure he'll get another raise if he wanted it. And two is, does the situation that he's looking for, you know, rise up and show itself. And he's like, you know what? I can't turn down that job or, you know, that organization or whatever. The biggest hurdle was, do you want to be a head coach? And he just said it right there. The fire is there. He wants to be a head coach. So the second part, it's going to show up at some point. It probably will happen this offseason, but it might not. I'll leave that, you know, that window open a little bit. But Doug, he wants to be a head coach at some point.
You know, it's interesting because I heard that and you're probably right. You're probably right. The he gone.
Eventually.
We talked about the four scenarios with Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. Like, they win the Super Bowl and they both leave is the best scenario. Like, we'll take that 10 times out of 10. They don't win the Super Bowl and they lose one anyway would suck. They don't win the Super Bowl and those guys stay. Wouldn't be bad. Don't win the Super Bowl and lose them anyway is awful. But, you know, the idea that he wants to finish the job, I guess the question is finishing the job the prerequisite to taking a head coaching position? You know what I'm saying? If you have to finish, if that's a prerequisite, then I'm okay with that. That's a great prerequisite. Then good luck to you. I don't know that he would go take it that far. I'm not leaving until we win a Super Bowl. I also wonder a little bit how intentional that was. Like, his agent might have said to him, hey, there's an impression out there that people aren't sure if you want to be a head coach. If you get asked about it again, be definitive. Be definitive that you do. Because it can't hurt, you know?
Yeah, I think that's something that's always a good thing for him to say publicly, at least. Because if he does go through the... you know, all the interview circuit this offseason. A question is going to be asked is, hey, man, do you really want to be a head coach? And he's going to have to say, hell yeah, I do. Because if you can't him and haw about that, no organization wants someone who's half in, right?
Nope.
And I think he tried to definitively answer. Maybe this was kind of like an interview, like, hey, man, I've got that fire into me to find out what I'm made of. So I do want the job at some point, you know?
Yep. So anyway, interesting stuff. I don't know if anybody else takes it as he gone. And that's fine. Like I've said about when we were talking earlier about Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson leaving the organization, just kind of felt like it sucked the will to play. The Lions had kind of sucked the will to play out of them. But as you look at that and I said, hey, those guys, it's their life. They can do whatever they want. Ben Johnson, same thing. you know, you can make any career decision that you think best suits you and your family. What is cool is he definitely likes working for Dan Campbell and being a coordinator for this team. And they have really gotten a lot out of this marriage. Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, Jared Goff, and really the entire offense. It's been a really, really good marriage. We just don't want it to end. That's said out of love and respect. All right, let's get to Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator. So a lot of Lions, a lot of people in that locker room are asked about, and we asked Jared Goff about this. Look, some fans feel the sense of doom because of all the injuries. And we pointed out to Jared that, you know, it comes from a loving place. Like they love and want the Lions to be successful. They're scared that the injuries can slow them down. So when the sky is falling talk comes up, here's what Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, had to say. I love it. I love it. And he, like, if you listen to the whole thing, he really believes in who they're going to put on the field. He thinks what they're going to put on the field is absolutely enough. And I mean, he's taking on the same approach as the head coach. We're not making excuses. We're not going to talk about who's injured. I'm going to talk about who we have. And that was Aaron Glenn's approach, and I love it. All right, more from the Lions defensive coordinator. And this is really interesting. The new guys that join the Lions roster, of course, in working with them, they get feedback. And Aaron Glenn says it really serves as affirmation of what they're doing. You know what he just said there? He just affirmed what we all hoped. Yep. They've fixed the damn culture. When other players are coming in and saying, I see why you win here. This is the kind of thing that I always envisioned going on in Pittsburgh and Seattle and Baltimore and New England. Is that when new players were introduced into the locker room, they fell in line because that's what you do here. And then it starts to feed upon itself. And for years and years and years, we took calls from hundreds, probably thousands of you that talked about a losing culture. And that right there, when you have a defense coordinator saying the new players come in and they say, I see why you win here. What could really be a more of an affirmation that the culture is fixed and in a good place than that? Everything's not perfect here. Let's be clear about that. That's a pretty good sign. That's a pretty darn good sign. Kang, any thoughts on that one?
It's crazy. I mean, people talk about so cliche, new coach, new GM, wherever they go.
Yep.
We're trying to change the culture. And it gets said over and over. But when you see it happen from the ground up and you see that it actually has changed, it's kind of like, I don't want to get dramatic, but it's like breathtaking. Like, oh my God, you know, this is... this isn't, you know, we SOL, all that stuff. This is
not even
people
close.
Come in and they say, what a class organization. I cannot wait to, the Lions are calling? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, right. Pick it up, right?
Yeah, quick. Call them back.
The culture has changed. It's not just a cliche, and it shows up. Like, I think I've mentioned it before, where the Patriots kind of just plug and play. You know, there was guys that they weren't necessarily all superstars in that team. We know Tom Brady is. We know Bill Belichick. But the other guys, we know who Gronk is. But there's a lot of guys in that team that would just come in and fall in line. And I think that's what's happening with the Lions right now. And Aaron Glenn's saying that with the defensive players they bring in. Hey, man, they're falling in line because they see how we do things here. And they don't want to be that weak link.
All right. People call and ask all the time about Emmanuel Moseley. Aaron Glenn will give us an update coming up next here on Carson Anderson. Carson Anderson, Gators out today. 248-539-9797 as always, open lines. Happy holidays, everybody. Okay, so one more here from Aaron Glenn. We like to bring you the best of what the coordinators had to say. And look, the Aaron Glenn's fun to listen to. I've always thought that he was really, really a good listen for a football fan. And this week was no exception. So told you why the sky wasn't falling. In fact, he called it dumb to think the sky is falling. All the new guys coming in confirm to them that the players, when they show up here, they say, I see why you win here. And now there is this, because we get this question all the time as we sifted through it. We thought, well, we'll hear from the horse's mouth. People ask, what are they getting out of Emmanuel Moseley, or what can they get out of Emmanuel Moseley? Here's what Aaron Glenn had to say.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. I mean, that's great, right? He's basically saying he's missed 2 years and it doesn't look like it. Now, is he ready to go? We'll find out. But that leads us into something that I want to ask the people at 248-539-9797. Yes. Yes, this defensive two deep has been ravaged by injury. Yes. We all see it. It is without a doubt been tough to watch players fall. And it's really made this season, which looked extraordinarily promising, about as promising as a season could look, it brings in into some doubt what the very end result will be. But it feels like there's quite a few young players that we still haven't completely defined as to what they're going to be. And there are recently signed players that have come in and played, some a little bit, some more than others, but are going to get opportunities here because of the injuries. And there are players on the brink of returning from injury. Which of those players do you think can most step up and make plays for the Lions defense? I went through a list of a bunch of guys that I think are either, they're either new, young, or returning from injury. Guys like Emmanuel Mosley, Amik Robertson in the defensive backfield. Up front, younger players, there's a bunch of them. Broderick Martin, Levi Onwuzurike, Josh Pascal, still relatively new in their career. Guys that have been brought in, Al-Qadim Muhammad, Pat O'Connor, Jamal Williams. All players that could help this team. You've got linebackers like Ben Neiman, Trevor Nowoski, Jonah Williams, that could help this team. You got Jamal Adams in the secondary. You got a Fatu Melifambu coming off the injured list. Who do you think can most help this team by stepping up now that they're going to get more reps? 248-539-9797. Before I get to my answer, Kang, you got one on this question?
I think this answer is going to change week in and week out. I think it's going to be a different guy week in and week out. I think for this week, Doug, he's a name we all know, and he's not necessarily a young guy, but it's Za'Darius Smith, and I think it's because he will play more snaps this week because the Bears, their tackle is terrible. Like, number 72, if you watch the Bears-Vikings game, was getting either beat or causing or was called for a penalty on almost every other snap. I think you line Za'Darius over him and just let him eat.
You're not going to try and say his name?
No way.
I think it's pronounced Amagaje.
Going to get a beat a lot that day.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, I think you're not going to have to remember his name either if you're a Bears fan, because I'm not sure he's going to be there much longer after this year. But I think he was a third-round pick from Yale. And maybe it was nerves. Maybe it was just, you know, finally playing more reps that he wasn't used to playing. But if he's out there Sunday, I expect to hear Za'Darius Smith's name a lot.
I hope it starts Sunday, and I'm not sure it happens right away, but I'll build a strong case that adding another playmaker in the secondary like a Fatu Melifambu is going to make a huge difference. And the reason why I don't know if it's going to make a difference Sunday, I think it sounds like he's trending towards playing Sunday, coming off the injured list. But the thing about that dude is we used to have a shortage of defensive playmakers here in Detroit, guys that would intercept footballs, guys that would knock it free from ball carriers, guys that would bat down passes, guys that would tip passes, guys that would sack quarterbacks, the big play defensive guys. And that's what he looked like he was morphing into at the end of last year. And look, not everybody's Brian Branch and right out of the gate is picking off Patrick Mahomes in game one, right? You've got other players, and it's more typical, especially in the secondary, that it takes a couple years. And it felt like a Fatu Melifambu had reached that tipping point, and it was awesome. But now, do I expect them to look that way? No, not after sitting out the better part of the year. But as we enter this stretch run here, these last few weeks, I think it's reasonable to think he can get up and running and be helping this team when we get to the Minnesota game, when we get to postseason do-or-die football. So that's a guy I'm thinking can step up. We did ask this question on Twitter, and we got some response. Gonzo writes in, I'm hoping Broderick Martin steps up. I'm excited to see the big man bring some pressure. Yeah, he doesn't feel defined yet. It's gotten to the point where I think some people aren't expecting much now. And when a player is drafted and the response is, who? Even though Brad Holmes made the pick, there was a lot of that. Did they really need to take this guy here? He has every right to take who he wants, and he kind of has a blanket endorsement from the 10-2 space. But I think that means your people probably a little bit quicker to give up on you when they didn't know who you were in the first place and thought it might have been a reach. And when that pick was made, we were very encouraged by Brad Holmes, but I don't think we, I think he's gone next level with where people, what people feel about him. From PG Stippy or Stipe on Twitter, I think Terrion Arnold in the secondary will generate some takeaways. They've been scarce lately, but the cold Chicago weather offers some opportunities. You know, one of the things that we didn't get to with Aaron Glenn, he was talked about having a strong secondary. You can build a game plan around that. Like you can do some things with a secondary to help the front seven.
Yeah, if you can play man, you, it allows you to be more exotic with your blitz calls, your front seven, your stunts, things like that, because you can count on guys to cover receivers for longer, right?
Yep.
But a part of that front seven is, how about Levi Onwuzurike? By the way, remember all that preseason hype? Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's been bad or anything, but now would be a good time to show everyone what they were talking about, all that hype we were hearing. They were saying, like, hey, we got three great defensive tackles because Levi's healthy this year, and he's pushing people around. He's physical.
Dude.
This would be a great time to show up, man.
Yep. No, I hear you. All right, more here from Twitter. From James Vader, if he definitely will help, maybe move Branch down to nickel. I think they might move Branch outside the corner.
I don't know, man. He's better in the slot if they move him off safety because he'll be at least closer to the line of scrimmage, which they can blitz him and stop the run because he's really good at that. I think your corner, your outside guys, if you want to go move people around. Robertson played exclusively outside for the Raiders last year, Meek Robertson.
Yeah.
So he can do that. You know, he's a smaller corner, but he can play outside.
You know what this feels a little bit like? You know, here you hear offensive line coaches, specifically in college, say we're going to put the best five out there. They move guys around to figure out what their best combination is. I feel like they can do that with this secondary. They can move a lot of guys around to figure out, okay, how do we best make up for the loss of Carlton Davis? And so you're right. They could do that as well.
There's flexibility for sure. And Dan Campbell spoke to media a little bit ago. He also said, Emmanuel Mosley, this is the best week he's had in a long time.
Okay. That is encouraging. From Nubs Get Dubs, I imagine Anzalone is going to look fresh coming off that forearm injury. From Love, Fatu Melifamu with a beat up secondary. I think his explosiveness complements Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch very well. Nice piece to get back. 248-539-9797. Your phone calls and feedback. It's Carson Anderson. Who's the guy defensively? You're like, all right, dude, now's your time. It's time to step up. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Hey, auto accident attorneys at Michigan Auto Law. They care more, so you win more. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize, but focus on many different areas of the law. Specialization matters and customer service matters. It's a huge differentiator. Michigan Auto Law chooses to take on fewer cases than other law firms. Take on fewer on purpose, so they have more time for your case. And they'll call you back too. A lot of people call Michigan Auto Law because they can't get calls back. Michigan Auto Law returns all phone calls within 24 hours. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.